I love the chaos. That's what I'm built for. Pressure creates diamonds, and it's honestly entrepreneurship. It's the best drug in the world. So for me, I just love it. I love building businesses. I love getting in the trenches, and I know I'm at my absolute best when I'm under massive amounts of pressure and I have to figure out problems in real time. So I love it, baby.
Fellow entrepreneurs, small business owners, and everyone in between, I am excited to go across the pond again one more time. Big thank you to my friend Miko for putting me in touch with Nigel Thomas. He's an exceptional entrepreneur, as I said, out in the UK right now. Does some work in the US, but over there, he's built a seven-figure agency, consulted several seven and eight-figure companies on their marketing strategies. For today, he's going to focus on what it takes to implement complex paid social campaigns that scale, something we're all trying to do as we hit certain levels in entrepreneurship. He scaled his own agency from zero to seven figures in under 2 years. I mentioned he built that, but it was in only 2 years he hit those pinnacles. Spent 100 million on ads while growing DTC brands. So we're going to learn a bit about that. If you're looking to grow your LinkedIn following, this is the show for you as well. He grew to over 42,000 followers only this year. It's an inspiring story that can motivate everyone tuning in today. So, Nigel, thanks a lot for joining That Entrepreneur Show.
It's a pleasure, brother. I hope you can get some value out. And like I said before we started this show, massive admiration for what you're doing. Guys, listeners, girls, it's not easy to do a podcast consistently. And there's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes. And Vincent's the man who's putting this content out there. So all I'll say is I appreciate you, brother.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you so much, everyone out there. He said it perfectly. This content that I've been creating, there's over 4 years of weekly shows, top entrepreneurs from around the world stopping by each week for you to give you their lessons learned, their struggles they face to help you avoid those same pitfalls. And for today, I expect nothing less. But before we get into the business sides of things, you mentioned you have a place out in Texas. What made you pick Texas to have your US base at?
Sunshine and opportunity, baby.
I
It's
love it.
I was actually living in New York for a bit and then I went to Vancouver. And Vancouver's a great place. I don't know if you've ever been there,
No,
but when I
never.
went from New York to Vancouver, I was walking around at 8 a.m. in the morning and the streets were dead. And I was like, wow, do these people work? So I spoke to a few friends and Austin was the place to be. So I moved there for a while and now I'm back in the UK sorting out some visa stuff. But like I said before we got started, I'm definitely missing the sunshine. And if anyone hasn't been to Austin, it's just an amazing sea of opportunity. You know, you're just walking into the next person who's going to create a $1 billion business, and the energy, the environment, and the openness of just a city that's full of immigrants who are all getting after it is just incredible.
I love it. I've never been there. It's always been on the list to go, but maybe one day we'll make it happen. But for today, we're talking all things entrepreneurship. Whenever you started your entrepreneurship journey, walk us through that moment.
Yeah, I still remember it just like it was yesterday. I was 26 years old. And you know what's interesting? I don't have one of these stories where I had a candy empire and I was selling lemonade at school. I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was at 26 years old. I had to Google it. I was, you know, in a dead end 9-to-5 job. I was working to become a cost manager for a construction consultancy called Acom. But just something inherently felt wrong, man. You know, people were talking about the weather, Netflix shows, and complaining about life. And I used to look at my manager. I still remember him. His name was Jim. If he's listening, shout out to Jim. And now I'm going to twist that because he was a bitter individual. And I could just see what the corporate life had done to him. And that
Right.
was who I was going to become. He was the director, like within 10 or 20 years. I was lining up to get a promotion to become that guy. And I just thought, I know there's more to life than this. So on one walk home from work, I just said to myself, fuck it. I'm done with the life of mediocrity. I had a few freelancing clients on Upwork and I just took the plunge. I don't know if you've ever seen the Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises.
Of
Do you remember it?
course. Yes, I love
So
that one.
there's this great scene in that movie where Batman is in the prison, right? And he has to escape as his city Gotham is burning to the ground. And he tries to jump across this ledge because he has to jump it to escape the prison. And he keeps holding on to this rope. This rope obviously is safety, right? And comfort. And he keeps failing. He goes back down to the bottom of the prison, Vincent. And one of the other prisoners said to him, "Why don't you jump without the rope and let the fear of death drive you forward to the other side?" So he gets back on the ledge. Everyone's chanting his name. And he jumps without the rope and he makes it to the other side. Now, the reason I tell that story is that's the jump that all entrepreneurs have to take. You have to go and jump with that uncertainty and get to the other side. And what gets you there is self-belief of conquering the unknown. No one else who's self-made didn't have this experience. And it's the ones who do jump without the rope and believe in themselves that make it to the other side. And that's exactly what I did, to the dismay of my parents and everyone else around me at 26 years old. And hell, if I knew what I was getting myself into and the years and twists and turns and ups and downs, and the fact that I'm going to talk to you about this, I nearly committed suicide a few months ago because of this entrepreneurial journey. I probably wouldn't have never taken that leap of faith. But I'll tell you what, it's the best goddamn decision I ever made in my life, Vincent. And in that moment, I felt so alive.
I love it. You are inspiring me just already through the show. I love the Batman analogy. And you said that well, too. I've never heard anyone say that. Every self-made person, they had to start knowing nothing as well. They didn't have any experience. And that should be motivation for everyone out there listening on, for that section of listeners who are the aspiring entrepreneurs. Go out there and do it. What was the first leap of faith? And I love how you mentioned the corporate struggles. You witnessed someone else unhappy in that role, and you took it as a sign to build your own brand.
Yeah, so I just got a few freelancing clients off Upwork. And at the time, Facebook ads was really taking off. There was a huge supply and demand opportunity, right, in the e-commerce space. So there weren't a lot of advertisers, but were a lot of people, using the platform. So as obviously economics is, supply and demand, the prices were cheap. So it was really easy to get results. So I started getting a few results, but I learned quite quickly I needed to learn the art of sales. So I started sending cold emails out because I realized that on Upwork, they take the fees. You can't make much money. So I literally, and by the way, I wish I had the AI tools back then. I was just handwriting emails in Gmail and blasting them out to brand owners. And I somehow managed to convince this eight-figure sportswear brand to get on a call with me. Didn't really think much of it. And just literally by sheer blagging it, people say I've got the gift of the gab. I'll let the listener be the judge of that today. I managed to convince them to work with me, and the retainer that I signed them on a few months after leaving the corporate world was $7,000 a month, which, by the way, was three times the salary I was getting. And that absolutely blew my mind of what's possible. But here's the caveat: I got complacent. I stopped hustling for new business. I sat on this retainer. We got them incredible results. And then one day, the founder of that company phoned me. "Great news, Nigel. We've been acquired." And I was thinking in my mind, where is this going? Unfortunately, the company that's acquired us has an internal marketing team. So as of today, your services are no longer needed. 90% of my revenue gone overnight. And due to some poor financial decisions, I found myself $50,000 worth of debt. I sank to my knees. I had tears rolling down my face. But deep down, Vincent, the worst part was I knew it was all my fault because I let myself get complacent. I stopped hustling for new business. And that's the biggest thing I'll say to other entrepreneurs. Life is cyclical. Look at the stock market. It's never a straight line to success, it's always up and down. So when the going gets good, go down and start working three times as hard. Because you never know what's coming around the corner. And keep doing your inputs, keep building your pipeline, because you need to have control of that situation. Because that was me when I was alone. Never mind when you have a team, because when you have a team and you get complacent, then you have to make people redundant. And that's making people redundant who are supporting and taking care of their families.
I can resonate with you there. The first, before the podcast coaching, the book coaching, it was school speaking. It was really trying to be a school speaker. I got my first big check and I found myself still working. I didn't lose the hustle, but I lost the sales hustle. I wasn't pursuing the next check like I didn't get that check yet. So that was a lesson learned for me. Even now, I still carry that maybe a little too much with my book coaching client. Is now there's seven at one time, and I'm okay with that because I don't want it to dry up. I've learned that lesson, and that fear in my head was a lesson learned. Like, okay, you can't take your foot off the gas. You can't pretend like that's going to last you too long because it won't. But also, even before when you mentioned, and this just came to me while you said something else, all the ups and downs, how if you knew what an entrepreneur was, you might not have done it. After this section of life is done, I don't know if I'll ever be the founder of a company again because of all the heartache and all the investment you have to put in physically, emotionally into it. Something else in the startup world for sure. But I don't know if I can have it in me to do the whole founder thing again. How do you feel about that?
You know what? A lot of founders, they talk about this vision of obviously where they sell their business and then they go and sit on a beach somewhere sipping cocktails. Personally, for me, and maybe I'll listen back to this podcast, Vincent, in 10 years' time, and I'll have a different worldview, but I couldn't think of anything worse. I love the chaos. That's what I'm built for. Pressure creates diamonds, and it's honestly entrepreneurship, it's the best drug in the world. So for me, I just love it. I love building businesses. I love getting in the trenches. And I know I'm at my absolute best when I'm under massive amounts of pressure and I have to figure out problems in real time. So I love it, baby.
I'm with you. You're putting out fires all day. I just think this time around, I would want a partner with me. I'd like to have someone else and not be a solopreneur. All the solopreneurs out there, stick with it. Things will eventually start to turn. When you get those thousands, no, that 1,001 will be a yes.
You know what? I actually fundamentally disagree with solopreneurship. And let me tell you why. So, credit to everyone who is quitting the 9 to 5, because obviously the internet has decentralized a lot of power and is going after their dreams. But here's the thing. What is true freedom? Because that's what entrepreneurship is, right? Being able to think creatively and go and build something in line with your own dreams and create financial stability for your family, do whatever you want. But here's the thing, when it comes down to solopreneurship, you have to do everything. And as humans, we're tribal. So if you think back to our ancestors, when we had a tribe, some people were scouting, some people were managing the tribe, some people were leading the tribe. And that's because humans are wired so differently, and we try and box people into certain things. But when it comes to being a solopreneur, if you're trying to do literally everything, including all the stuff you hate, that for me is not true freedom. True freedom is focusing only on your strengths, because I used to try and work on all my weaknesses as well. And then I had a mentor that ran massive teams at Tesla, and she told me, Nigel, just focus on your strengths. So, really, in my opinion, how to have true freedom is yes, at the start, you got to hustle through, you got to grind through and do it all yourself. But get to a point where you can hire other people, and maybe that's just contractors, but build a team of other people that have strengths in the areas where you don't have. So you can just focus all your time and energy only on the strengths and the things you like to do. And the last thing I'll say on that is when we get to the end of our lives and we're on our deathbed, Vincent. All we have, regardless of how much money we've made, is the memories and the people we've had them with. If you can build a team of people, you can all struggle through at the same time, everyone with their core strengths as a tribe, going back to our human nature. For me, that's just so much more fun, as well as being way more operationally efficient. So not only are you going to grow 10 times faster if you do it with a team, you're also going to have a lot of fun in 10, 20 years' time when you're sitting back looking at the hard days and the struggle. You can reminisce because you went through those hard times together. And for me, that's what entrepreneurship's all about. It's not just about, going at it alone. It's about going through the struggle with others, going back to our core fundamentals of the tribe, and focusing only on your core strengths.
A lot of golden nuggets there, and should be inspiration to all the solopreneurs to keep hustling, start building the team. Because once you do, life does get a whole lot easier. Social media was always one of my weaknesses and my dislikes, and now that I don't have to focus on that anymore, it gives me more time to do things that I need to do, like sell and, of course, produce these podcasts. We've covered a whole lot today in already this period of time. I'd love to now ask you, you've been on the journey. What is one of your biggest tips for success that you can offer to everyone listening on today?
Share your story. So, again, we talked about before the show started that social media is full of highlight reels, but really, that's not what entrepreneurship is all about. And if you're able to be vulnerable and share your whole self, you'll connect with people on a much deeper level. And if you do this in real time, you will build a tribe of people that are willing to follow you until the end. Because when we go to networking events, and now we're talking about taking personality online, you won't never walk up to someone and go, "Hey, this is the business. I run a marketing agency. We've worked with all these kind of econ clients. Shake the hand, let's do business," right? It doesn't work like that. When you go up and approach a human, you ask them about their background. So you talk about where they're living, you share some stories, and then obviously at the end, you talk about business, right? So why is it when we go online, we look around, especially in the B2B space, we're all just talking about case studies and marketing and data and analytics? That's boring. Humans obviously aren't just looking at that. They're watching Netflix, they're watching social media. Why is that? It's because they live out their dreams through the characters in those movies. But there's a few people in this world that make their life the movie. And then they have thousands, if not millions, of people tuning in to watch their every step. So when you try and take your personality online, you need to do it as the same as offline. Don't just share the business. Sure, there's a place for that. It's important, but also share the stories. And when I started doing this on LinkedIn, I was talking about my heartbreak and the fact that, I nearly committed suicide a few months ago. And I've got people reaching out to me with such deep messages. And we're not just talking about little entrepreneurs here. We're talking about people who are running massive nine-figure billion-dollar companies that want to have a conversation with me because they connect with me on a deep human level. So I think share your story in the world because everyone's already heard all the stories. They've already heard all the greats. But guess what? They haven't heard yours.
I love it. I can't thank you enough, Nigel, for taking some time across the pond to join that entrepreneur show. It was really great to connect. Another big shout out to Miko, always throwing some great guests my way. Where can we find you online? Where can we find out more about you?
Yeah, so just a quick twist here, because like I said, I got this marketing agency from 5 to 100,000, 140,000 it was at the end of the year in revenue. And from the outside looking in, everything was sunshine and rainbows. But little did my team know, on the inside, I was crumbling. I lost the person that believed in me most and was nearly thinking about taking my own life. And in that moment, Vincent, I said to myself, if I'm not going to continue for me, I'm going to continue for everyone else who deserves a second chance in life. Because even though I lost that person, they gave me the self-belief to be able to jump without the rope like Batman did and conquer the unknown, become, an entrepreneur going after my dreams. So I'm documenting my comeback in public. I'm building a 100,000 person community on a newsletter called David to Goliath. The reason why David was be able to beat Goliath because he had the self-belief passed on to him. And even with a slingshot and a few pebbles, he still managed to defeat the mighty monster. So every single Tuesday and every single Tuesday, I'm documenting my comeback, sharing the raw, uncut life of an entrepreneur and how I'm building this thing in public. And every Tuesday, I'm interviewing some of the best underdog stories and leaders of our generation. So davidtogoliath.com. Go there, subscribe, connect with me on LinkedIn, share the struggle, and together, let's climb the mountain of greatness. The last thing I'll say, and this is the slogan of David to Goliath, keep dreaming like a giant, but fight and believe in your dreams like a goddamn underdog, baby.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for a great show. Go check him out online. Subscribe to that newsletter. The show is at That Entrepreneur Show on all social media. Be sure to head to YouTube under the Vincent A. Lancey channel. Throw a subscribe there for That Entrepreneur Show channel. You'll see the video coverage from today's show. It was a great one for sure. And with that, we are signing off from the UK to Tampa Bay. Nigel, thank you so much.
Peace. Let's do this thing.